The audience will start. So as we have a specific presentation, we don't have two microphones. So if everybody can listen to me. Jody, it's okay for you? Yes. Perfect.
Should I close the door?
Oh, yes, please. So now that the door is closed, you can no more escape from here. So be sure, if you are sure that you really want to attend to the 45 minutes of that conference about the new chart model, it's okay. If not, you still have 5 minutes to go out. I always dream to do things like that, because when I had some teachers before, they always say,
that's cool.
Okay, the kind of guy who is trying to be some clown is called Pierre-André Galmès. So that's my name, in fact. And with Bjorn Michael, which is from Sun Microsystem, will showcase a bit the new chart module. In fact, the Sun guys, which are Bjorn and Ingrid, which is not there today, have done a fantastic work. And today are the first premises of what will be the new chart model. So I will let Bjorn explain to you some of those things.
Yeah, hello. My name is Bjorn Milke, as Pierre-André already introduced me. I started working for Star Division in 1999, so that's quite a bit of a time. It was acquired by Sun, and so I'm working for Sun most of the time now. And the chart, I started working at the chart module at that time, which had quite a lot of developers changing over the time. So each chart developer was there for half a year, probably, and I now work for the chart for almost 7 years. And that's the frequency of different developers who implemented this code is also one of the reasons that the code is not very consistent, of the code of the existing chart module. And there are many, many things that are not very nice from a code perspective. I mean, from the user perspective, there are also a lot of issues which people are not very confident with. But it's also from a technical perspective that the old chart module is not very good designed, well designed. And so we decided to re-implement the chart from scratch, and it's quite a bit of a task. At first, when we started, we thought it would go a bit faster, but it turned out that it's not so easy to, even if the chart is just one relatively small module, because you always have those small images, but that doesn't mean it's a small program concerning features and things like that. Now we want to present you some of these new features. First, to give an overview. It's not working anymore. It's strange. It's taking too long. Maybe you have to deselect the object. Okay, now a little overview about what we're going to talk. First, we'll show you some of the new features. Our main focus of re-implementing the chart was to re-implement everything that existed in the old chart. So this is the biggest task, and this is still an ongoing task, that we have everything that was in the old chart also in the new chart. But we re-implemented the chart also to have new features, and some of the important features are also already integrated, and we want to show them here. This is the first thing. Then I want to talk a bit about what opportunities there are for open office developers. who might want to help us, and then some things which are still open, and what we plan to do in the future. Finally, some questions and answers. So I think.
So to showcase a bit of the new features, which is what the users are more interested in, I will start with some examples. So there are 3 points, in fact, where you can find new features. Firstly, is the wizard things. All the wizard has been re-implemented from scratch. Then you will see 2 more extra features, which are quite nice, in particular for import and export with Excel. So to go to that, the first one is the new look. For those who haven't tried the version that you can find on the website, we'll showcase some of the new chart. New chart. So how does it look like? The first thing when you want to create the chart is you will click on that button, often. One of the key features which is new is the live preview. You remember the old chart? You had a small window on the left where you had some kind of preview. In fact, in there you had a small window. Now one of the features which is really new is the live preview. For example, look at that. If I click there, you have all the changes directly on the graph. And that is really cool for users which are not confident with what they will have at the end. You can also have a look there at this new wizard, and you can see that what is really great is that there are new icons. That's not a superb or a fantastic feature, but it counts, and it's good to have them. At the same time, do you also remember in the old chart how it looked? For example, if you wanted to have 3D diagrams. In the old chart, you had several types, and after those types, they were some more 3D diagrams. Now there is a simpler interface, and you can just click on there and say, okay, now I want a 3D look. And there you still have this live preview working. And you can say if you want some kind of simple or realistic look. And then change this. Say, okay, I want cylinders. And click on stitch. So that was the first part, this live preview and this new interface. The second part, if I go back to my slide, is this enhanced UI. What is cool that I love and that a few users I'm sure will appreciate are some small improvement in the user interface and the UI. For example, do you remember how you changed the data ranges used for drawing charts? It was not so easy because in the old chart you had to double click on it, for example. Yeah. And then if you right clicked, you had these data, modified data ranges, which was...
It was a single click in the old chart.
Yeah, it was a single click there. And in fact, for users, newbies, we can say, or basics users, they had the opportunity, or they clicked only once on it and tried to modify it. And there, that line was not there. Now it is. Oh, sorry, did
that's
I say
wrong.
Some?
It's the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, sorry,
that's
it's the other way around. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, exactly.
And this is really hard to find here. We plan to remove the double click. That is also a hurdle that people have, that they don't know that they have to double click for changing the chart. And so if we have a single click, we will also have the changing of data ranges inside the chart. And here it is outside the chart. You have two different modes. You have the OLE object that you select to change the data, and the double click, and then you have the chart mode where you change everything else. So,
That would be cool. Okay, the third part was the live preview. We already changed that. There are also new chart types. For example, if you go back to that, at the time there are not many new types, but many more will come. For example, I think that the new types you can find are in the Pi, and which are the exploded 3D pies and the exploded donuts, which were not there before, and there are quite a few others. And in the longer future, there will be the possibility, but I don't know if I should say that.
No, but probably you can move the wizard down so that you can see the chart.
Yes, there it is. And in the longer future, there should be some possibility, in fact, to combine any type of chart so that you could have, I don't know, lines with maybe some other scenes. Okay. So, the next one. Regression curves. And that was one of the points where many users complained. For example, do you know in the actual chart, one of the things that is not so easy is to have some regression curves on charts. Because to have regression curves at the moment, you have to select a special kind of chart, which is the X and Y chart. That's a difficult thing for users coming from Excel. And with those enhancements, you can just have any kind of chart, like bar chart, or any time where you could hope to have trend lines. Click on object properties and have some statistics here. And select, for example, that you want linear trends. And if you want to do it for all the curves and all the series, you can just go there and
insert.
Yep. Sorry. Insert and have statistics and just click on it. You have them everywhere. And the last enhancement, which was quite interesting to focus on, was that 3D dialog box. For example, I will just show you how it looks like. I don't know if you remember the old one, but there you have three tabs where you can, in fact, select and modify all the appearance of the 3D chart. Like, if I wanted to move there, okay, this is that way. That way, have the live preview to see what will be the result. Change the appearance to make it simple. To add or not object borders, and that's it.
The main improvement of the 3D dialog is to make it simpler. Before we had two dialogs, it was one dialog where you could enter the angles, like here, which simply didn't work. And we had another dialog where you had five tabs with 20,000 different settings, which were most of them didn't work also. So we just wanted to reuse an existing dialog where most of the things which were in the dialog weren't supported. So I think it's a good thing to reduce the things to what a user really wants and can change. Especially if you maybe you notice the perspective field. In the perspective field, you can enter a number between 0 and 100 instead of having to set the focal length and distance, where even I don't know how they work.
Okay, let's continue. Okay, so that was for the new wizard since. Next point that is quite interesting is this flexible source ranges. What is it? For people who try to draw some complicated stuff, like, for example, if you want to draw X and Y diagrams, you have to be able to select the X and the Ys. often you have the X on some row somewhere in the sheet, and you want to select, for example, the Ys in another part of the sheet, not always on the same level. And that's possible now. For example, have a look at that.
Did you really install this application?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's Excel. It doesn't work. Sorry. Okay. When you preload things, it's always a mess because I open the document first with Excel, mm-hmm. and it's in read-only now.
You can go on the edit. I can
just like that way. Oh, okay. Okay.
What's that?
Too much. So, for example, if you double-click on it, you see firstly that there are three boxes, in fact, there. The first one represents the X, the second one the Ys, which are there, and finally the title. So, that's interesting for some time, and you can all change that with this new place, which is called, for example, data series. So, for example, if I want to remove one of the rings, I can just select a series which is represented by its name, which is circle 2, that one, and I could just change that and say instead of this E3 which is there, I want it to be G3. And that was maybe too much.
No, it's okay. You changed the name.
Yeah. And it doesn't. Yes, and if you see the result, in fact, there you see, so, that the circle 3, you have two of those. The second one, which is this one, and this one also. And so, that's cool because you can add, remove things, and for those who knew a bit Excel, that's a really great thing. It's useful. Okay, and I think that Bjorn will continue presenting a new feature. Exciting one.
Okay, now most of the charts you create are, you create them out of a calc document or sometimes of a writer table. But you can also have charts in other applications, like in Impress. And I don't know if you know this dialog when you have your own data. You get a separate dialog where you have all the numbers and all the stuff you want to modify. In the old chart, everything was based on a rectangular region of numbers, basically. Sometimes you could do a bit more than a rectangular region, but in principle it was like that. That's also why we couldn't import documents like those Olympic rings before. And the difference, and so we also changed the dialog for the data with coming from in Impress, for example. If you have here, this is the icon for the data editor. So what you notice here is that you have the name, the labels of the series are in the first row, which are represented by edit fields, and they are not part of the table, which was the case before. So you can change the names here. You also see little icons representing the chart type, and you see a bar representing the color of the data series. What's also new is when you change data. You have a live preview and you see the changes directly in the chart. Therefore, you also don't have a transfer button. That's what you had before. You always had to commit your changes before leaving the dialog. And now, if you leave the dialog, you have the changes. If you don't want them, you can do an undo, which I don't do right now because it actually doesn't work 100% yet. Okay, so I think. Okay, I have some other examples here. One thing is what you see in the stock chart, that you can have more than one role. We called it role, and one data series. That's what we call the thing that you see in the chart. For example, a line in a line chart. That is what we call the data series. And a data series may consist of more than one data sequence, and that's what you can see here. You have the big edit field, which represents the name of the data series, with a chart type icon beneath. And then you have the different sequences with their roles. You have the open values, you have the low values, the high values, and the close values. And I think it helps a lot to see the roles here, because usually you have a column 2, column 3, column 4, and column 5, and you don't know what you should enter there. What you can see here is, basically you can see that the chart type icon makes sense. You have two bar series and one line series, and you see it directly in the dialog. I think that's also a cool feature, because you don't always have to check and refer to the legend. What was it now? Okay, the last example I have here is to show that we also have the number formats in the dialog. It's a bit like in Calc. When you're in edit mode, you just have the number, and when you're not in edit mode, you see the number formatted like it would appear in the chart, at the axis or as a data label. Okay, so much for that. So I think that's what you wanted to do, regression curves. Oh, I think you did it already.
Yes.
Okay, so we can skip that one.
That's cool, graph.
Yeah, you wanted a screenshot, I just did it. Okay, so that was the first part, the new features. They are probably not so many, but they are very, very important ones, especially the flexible source range stuff. And but the biggest improvement of the new chart are those things that a user might not notice, but a developer does. And that's what I want to talk about now.
Just taking too much. He's really too modest. They did a great job.
I want to talk about the new architecture. I don't know how many of you are developers or not. I know this is not part of the development track, so I try to go not too deep into details. I want to start with an architecture overview. So you're not a developer?
I'll go back. Just continue.
Okay. You probably know the... Can you see the box? No. There's a box. there is a box here, which denotes the new chart, but it is not important. You probably have heard of the model view controller pattern in software development, and we tried to implement it strictly according to this pattern. So we have really three different libraries. That are as little interwoven as possible. The first thing is the model library. It contains everything that you usually, roughly speaking, that you store to a file. If you have a text document and type some words, and you mark one word as bold, then the model contains the information. There's a sentence in a document and there's something bold, however this should look like. And then you have the second part, that is the view. That is a component that renders everything that is in the model and represents it in a window. This is also a separate library, which has access to the model, of course. It reads the model, but it never writes the model. It has only read access to the model. And in between is the controller, that is the component that is responsible for everything that the user can do with interaction, like clicking with a mouse, entering some text with a keyboard, or opening a dialogue and changing things in the dialogue. And so we have those three parts, which are actually three libraries. And the model API is a new one. We have a new namespace, ComSunStarChart2. And the old API is ComSunStarChart, with no number. And this, we of course, we had to support also this old API. And here I just want to show that the old API was due to the bad architecture of the old chart, is dependent on things that exist in the view. For example, you can get the absolute position on the screen, not the absolute, the position in centimeters in the drawing layer of the legend, or the size in centimeters, or things like that. We no longer support that, because this would require some view that the view can decide, if there is an automatic position for a legend, the view can decide, I put it here or a bit more to the left or to the right. So if we still want to use the old API, we have to create a view so that we know those coordinates and stuff that is what's needed by the old API. The controller and the model are accessed via the framework. That's also only using the UNO API. We no longer are SFX based, which all the other applications except base are. So we have no library dependency there. The framework means it's everything that is around. It's the office itself and in which the chart runs. The access from the interaction of the exchange of data between calc and chart, especially in the past, was done by the calc. Calc created a proprietary structure that was part of the chart module, and it decided, I should use it like this, and in columns and rows and with labels, and had to decide things that are in principle chart specific, and passed the structure to the chart. And so there was a library dependency that was also not very nice. And in the new chart, this also works the other way around. In the model implements the X data receiver, and the calc implements the X data provider. And when the chart wants to have some data, for example, the dialogue you just saw, where Pierre André entered the number to get a different label for a series, then we ask the data provider, give me the data for this range. So now it works the other way around, and it's, I think, a cleaner approach. So now if you write components or scripts that deal with the chart, you can access the new model API, that's the arrow on the right. You can still access the old API, as we have this, we have to support the old API, of course, and that's this wrapper component that we also wrote, and you can access the controller. The view has no UNO interfaces. No is not exactly correct, but only a few. For example, an X updatable, and you can call update edit, but you can't get access to the whole stuff, the drawing layer that is behind, or the shapes that are created there. But we intend to extend also the view with UNO API, so that you are able to create your own chart types in the future. So I think Yeah, we'll make this fast, I think. I don't want to show you a complete UML diagram of the chart, but just a short overview. The most important object is the chart document. It's almost like in the old chart. You have an X model and the X chart document, which is the main interface there. And one document has one diagram. We always call the diagram the inner part of the document. That's also not very much different. We decided just to support one diagram per document. Internally, we can handle more than one, but we're not still sure if it is really needed by people. And maybe there are some, I think there are some issues also with that, so we currently stick to one diagram. The diagram consists of coordinate systems. Currently we also have one coordinate system only, but the API allows you to have more than one. The coordinate system contains one or more chart types, and the chart types contain data series. So you can have different chart types in one coordinate system. For example, the bar and line chart can be modeled with that. The data series contain labeled data sequences, and those contain data sequences. I don't think it's necessary to explain this in all detail. But what you see is that it's quite a hierarchy. In the old chart, it more or less ended at the diagram. You could get the data series properties directly from the diagram. And now we have a better structure, which is on one hand more complex, but on the other hand more flexible and more logical to deal with. To explain this a bit more, this is a short fragment of a basic macro. When you have the chart, you get it somehow. In the old chart, you could get the data row properties was the name, so that was the properties of the data series. And in the new chart, it's a bit more, you have a bit more steps in between. So you might think on the first sight it's more complicated, but on the other hand it's more flexible, and it allows you to have more things than before. Concerning the compatibility to the old API, as I said already, we implemented the old API. It should work, basically. Some things might not work exactly like before, and if there are any issues, we started an FAQ on the wiki, so if anybody has problems also with migration, you can add things there or find things, answers there already. Okay. Now you can show some examples.
So now that's the live demonstration. Quickly, what people may want to do, the ones who are looking at the conference, and you also, is to try the new API for doing some macros or something like that. So now that we have all the theory, let's have a look at the practice. That's a bit. So for the practice, I will just keep that one. Okay. Try to keep that one. I will. So the aim of this is to show you quickly the new API. So for that, I will create a simple chart and try to modify it simply. So things that anybody could want to. So as writing the code took some time, I already wrote it yet. In fact, where is it? It's from scratch. So you will see that in 10 lines of code, you can do many things. So firstly, let's have a look at what happens. You remember, here is how the chart looks now. I just execute the macro. Once the macro is executed, we have changed some things. The first is the legend, where we change the background color, the width of the line. We change also the background and some colors in here. So for people who are a bit far, we will just change the font. So it's three. Everybody can see now, it's better. So the first step is quite easy, you just get the sheet. That's normal. Then you get the collection of charts in the sheet. Then I just, from the collection of charts, get one of the chart. So when I coded that, I make it the Greek way, the bad way I say. I just took the first chart with the index O. So that returns me, in fact, the chart. If you wanted to make it nicer, you can just do a get by name and give a name to your chart. So that's okay. Once, I just use what Bjorn just showed us before, and I do, okay, I want the first diagram, so you remember there was the diagram just before the chart. I take the first coordinate system, I take the chart types, the data series I want to change, and I just attribute to that a color. So just one line, and that's it. And for changing other attributes, I just take other small things and I change them. And that's all. So I think that it's quite straightforward and that everybody can understand some things. For the legend, it's no more complicated. I just get the legend from the first diagram and change the color. Fill color and the line widths. So that's basically how you can do things. Okay, to show you quickly some other more complicated things, Bjorn wrote a nice macro. So I will just click on the buttons to give you some ideas. Okay, create diagrams. So that first, create some diagrams. Then the first button, which is interesting, is the pie. That was just a small application to give you ideas. For example, what has changed in the pie is configured from the data. It takes the color from the cells and applies it to each segment of the pie. So that can give you some ideas. The second button was about axis. So you can, it's just a macro to change some axis and add a legend. So that example was also done because we will put on the website all those examples so that people that want to try can just have some code yet. The next one is an interesting feature which is also asked for a few users at least. It's a small macro that adds a linear line, but that's strange.
It's from the scatter chart.
Oh, yes, sorry. Always. In fact, that macro returns the equation of this trend line. And then it returns the coefficient, which is the R2, which those who use Excel might know. And other...
The interesting things that we have these now. Many people requested them. We have no possibility yet to place them as objects in the chart, but as you can see in this macro, you could write also a macro to add them as objects in the chart.
Okay, that was one. Okay, and so that macro was cool. It changed the background of the chart, took an image from the website, and changed the symbols to draw the chart. So there are also other few macros, and that's the last one I would like to showcase. Ingrid will maybe kill us, but anyway. That's an interesting discovery that Bjorn made. Have you seen when I click there, all the legend appears in the different charts? And look what happens when I change the legend on one of the charts. So, for example, if I change the film color, or I don't know, anything, that wouldn't be so nice. Yellow, it's changed everywhere. So you can imagine that's almost a tool, and you should not use it at all, because it can break and it can leave you to quite a few bugs. But it's really nice to see that there are some opportunities and some things to make in that direction.
It's more a proof of concept, I would say. Nowadays you can create a legend via the service manager as a component, and then you have this object and you can set it as legend to all charts that you want, theoretically, and interestingly also practically. But as soon as you save this document and reload it, the sharing is no longer apparent. It's just to demonstrate. In the old chart you couldn't create chart objects without any model.
What's nice about that is that it makes me think, at least, Bjorn will kill me, but don't tell you, that you can have some kind of styles, in fact. And you could try to have some styles for diagrams and automate all those things generating. Okay, let's go back to that. So Bjorn will now showcase that's more for advanced developers.
I will make that short. I made this slide just to demonstrate how the different libraries play together. I also introduced the three libraries we have and the old API. You even see this box on the... Never mind. What is said here with the controller library is that the old model API is part of the controller library also. So this is one DLL or library. We have a tools library in the chart that is implemented with C++, and it basically contains things that ease the use of the API. As you saw in the examples before, you have to query how many chart types, how many coordinate systems are there, and then take the first coordinate system, how many chart types are in the coordinate system, how many data series. And we have some places, especially in the controller, where we just want to have a list of all data series spread over all coordinate systems and chart types. And this kind of helper things are in the tools library, and I think they might also be interesting for developers of macros or components. So we also think if we can provide some of the things that are here in the tools library also via a UNO API. So this is just to show the view uses the drawing layer, the controller uses VCL, that's basically all the C++ connections we currently have. All other things is UNO. Okay. So
one of the big questions for new people and the people who would like to come is, do we need help in the moment? In fact, help is always good. So if people want to start helping, for example, writing specs about new feature they would like to have, or writing some performance, testing the demo, there are many, many things that can be done, and everybody is welcome to help about that. So if you have some time, don't bother, just send a mail to us. We'll show the website where you can find us there, and we'll try to help you about that.
Okay. Well, I don't know if the time is a bit short, or we are a bit over the time, so maybe we just skip this. and you can read it in the later. What I want to say shortly is, the most important thing is that we have to finish the re-implementation. That's the most important task, and that's still what we are working on. Only if we finished with that, we start with new features. I think that's an important thing to know. If you look at the new chart and say, well, it's so different from the old one, this is the main task. And afterwards, I think we have great opportunities to implement new things. Our idea is especially to extend the chart by new chart types. And ideally, it would look like that. You write a component, you deploy it in the office, and then you have in the wizard a new section where your chart type appears, and you can select it and use it. That would be great. But it's still not the reality. It's just a plan for the future. Okay, so I think the next...
Just maybe before that, there are two other people that, many of the other people that helped to contribute, and in specifically there is Ingrid Halama, which is not there today, but who's working a lot with Bjorn on that, and also Tony Galmisch, which is just there, who helped us writing some documents and specs about the issues and things that users want, which was quite useful.
And Ingrid is also with Sun Microsystems, which is also a developer. So now, first question is answered here. This is where you find most of the information, all of the information you want to know about the new chart. If you have any further questions, yes?
Can you show again the modern slides, please?
The model?
Yes, the modern slides.
Do you mean this one or the other one?
No, the other one.
This one?
The next one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So, you said that there is one chart document has one diagram.
Yes.
Maybe, I'm not sure if I understand well, but maybe I will have many diagrams in one chart document. You tell me if it makes sense. I imagine a chart document with a map in background. And I want to put at city location some chart statistic about the population
the pie, in each pie city. Charts, pie chart.
Yeah, for example.
Yeah.
Is that a case?
We are aware that it is...
Sorry to interrupt. I will just sum up your question for people who are there and who do not listen what you said. He asked about doing, for example, having a map of France and saying, for example, that region of France, I want to display a pie chart on it. And I want another region of France display another kind of chart. That's some kind of question.
Is that very often with city location, statistic about city?
Of course, it makes sense to have this kind of chart. The problem is that we don't support yet more diagrams technically. So we just wanted to focus on one diagram, like in the old chart. And we had the method get diagram by index, and you could you always had to take the index 0, which we now also have with the coordinate system. We decided to rename it to get first diagram to. But this is still an open part of the API. I think we might change that in the future.
That's right. The API is open for that in the future.
Yeah, we haven't published the API yet. And that's also an important point I want to mention. If you want to try the new chart and write your macros, always be aware that the new API is due to change. It's not finished yet.
Any other questions, maybe?
Yes?
What sort of timelines are you hoping for in terms of finishing the current feature set and getting it merged?
Oh, we rehearsed that question.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we plan to finish in the mid of next year.
And finish as
hope to be finished.
Finish feature sets and then X months on top of that to get it merged? So this is like a 3.0 kind of thing?
Well, the problem is that it still takes some time for us now to finish the implementation, and after that we need a really big QA phase, because we have a child workspace with many issues now, and they all have to be checked, and it has to be checked that all the functionality works that worked before. So this will also take a big amount of time, and maybe we finish earlier, but the experience shows that you shouldn't underestimate the efforts.
Just about the timeline, so finish in middle of next year mean finish implementation or
no, being ready in the product?
Being ready in the product.
Yeah.
That would mean starting with QA and finish implementation end of the year.
Yes.
Are multiple ranges on the x-axis, for example, supported already implemented?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You mean that what you saw in the chart with the Olympic rings? They all had different x values, or do you mean?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
For example.
Yes.
Same question. I wanted multiple axes recently, like milliseconds versus seek time.
Yeah.
Or stats. Is that doable?
We haven't done anything in that direction. I'm not sure at the moment what. I think it could be modeled with by using more than one coordinate system, probably, or by extending. I just have to think about the coordinates. The coordinate system is I think it's an axis container. I think you can technically put more axes of one kind in one container. It just won't paint right now. Yes.
In terms of this is obviously a massive change. How does it impact the file format? Obviously, you're able to read the existing ODF, but in order to get full fidelity, you mentioned the sharing gets lost if you put in ODF now. Are you contemplating ODF extensions, a whole new sub schema?
Yeah. The file format is a bit of a problem. I mean, it is great to have a standard now, but on the other hand, we have to implement it like that. So that was also quite some effort, which took a lot of time to make the new chart conformant to the ODF format. So the format works pretty good now with importing existing files and writing files and loading them in the current OpenOffice 2. We have some of the features, like the flexible source ranges, were already in the file format, because we knew when we created the file format that we wanted to have them at some point. But of course we will extend some parts that we still have to do that for the file format. But in principle it's the same.
How about performance?
An
issue that always comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. We are working on performance also, and we have some things that we have focused on some issues to increase the performance, but we still have to do the correct access layout and things like that, which are time-consuming parts, and that might decrease the current performance. So I wouldn't talk about numbers, because it's not final yet. But we will, of course, after we finish the implementation, try to improve the performance. And there are places, I think, where we can improve them. And it will, especially for those very nasty cases in the old chart, we will have improvements there. Okay, so
thank you.
Thank you.